Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning and loving Sai Ram to all our brothers and sisters joining us right now. Dear listeners, my name is Karuna and I thank you so very much for your company on this very beautiful Thursday morning, April the 2nd, 2015. For us here at Radio Sai, having your company is the same as having Bhagwan's divine company. By the way, you're tuned to Morning Glory coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time here in our studio right now is exactly 45 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and the current temperature outside the studio right now is 30 degrees Celsius, with a high of 38 Celsius expected later in the day. Tonight, our overnight low is going to be 26 degrees Celsius. The air in Prashanthi is crisp and the skies are clear, and we do experience warm breeze for most part of the day, and that is way better than the stillness of a dreary summer. So all is well and better than well here in Prashanthi Nilayam as always. For us, every season in Parthi is lovely and it has a unique flavor to it. Right now, watermelons and nimbu pani, which is homemade lemonade, are the flavors of the season, as is the green raw mango chutney, which is pretty tangy and mouth-watering actually. With the start of the month of April, it's that time of the year when all of us gather in thousands to rededicate ourselves to the Sai mission on Aradhana Day, that is April the 24th, the day the avatar shed his mortal coil to assume his cosmic form. So, dear brothers and sisters, it is time for you to come home to Mother Sai. Today, or rather this moment, is the moment for you to plan your trip for the big day that falls on Friday, April 24th. You can easily make it a long weekend and spend some time within the divine precincts of Prashanthi Nilayam during the weekend of the Aradhana Mahotsavam. As we start the month of April, I extend this invite to you from all members of our team, those whose names and voices you're familiar with and those who work tirelessly behind the scenes to keep Radio Sai up and working on 6 streams 24/7. Prashanthi Nilayam awaits your arrival. Come, energize and refresh yourself by praying at the holiest shrine on the face of the planet. By the way, here are some of the highlights of the many celebrations planned for April 2015 in Prashanthi Nilayam. I have a program sheet with me and I'd like to read a few details for you. We begin the month of April by celebrating 2 New Years. 14th of April is going to be celebrated here because it's Tamil New Year, and 15th happens to be Vishu, which is the Malayalam New Year. So the celebrations, of course, will begin on 13th of April itself. And on 13th in the morning, we have Srimati Ambali and her bhajan group offering their music at the Divine Lotus Feet. And on the evening of 13th April, never to be missed, is a music program by Kavalam Sri Kumar. Kavalam Sri Kumar is a very celebrated musician from South India. And he is a Baba devotee and he will be performing in the Sai Kulwant Hall in the Divine Presence. On 14th, which is the Tamil New Year, we have music by Chinmaya sisters and also an alumni member, Sri T.E. Aditya speaking. Of course, we'll have our regular bhajan and our regular vedam, but these are just the highlights that I'm reading out to you. On 15th, which is Vishu, we have Srimati T.S. Radha Kumari performing with her group. And we also have Sri T.B. Radhakrishnan and his team offer their music, as also Sri Madhu Balakrishna. Now coming to 24th, which is Aradhana Day, we are going to have Pancharatna Kirtis on Swami being offered by the students of the Sai University. Our chief guest is going to be His Excellency, Mr. Rosaiah, the Honorable Governor of Tamil Nadu, and a member of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, Mr. V. Srinivasan, will address the devotees. On 24th, also the day of the Aradhana, there will be a mass feeding of the poor and distribution of clothes in the Hillview Stadium. And in the evening, we have music concert by Ms. Lalgudi, Vijayalakshmi and Party. And on 26th, there will be a cultural program by the Pre-Seva Dals of Himachal Pradesh in the Sai Kulwant Hall. Now, with that heads up, I hope you have enough reason to plan your trip as soon as you can. And for us at Radio Sai, what better way to start off the holy month of April, the month of the Aradhana Mahotsavam, than by treating you to a live, from the studio, fleeting moments interview with a member of Team Radio Sai, who has studied in Parthi, grown up right under Bhagwan's watchful eyes. He has honed his academic, artistic and technical skills entirely under Bhagwan's direct divine supervision. In fact, his first job and his only job involved an interview. That's the only job interview he has ever faced. And guess who conducted it for him? He was interviewed and hired personally by Bhagwan for the job he does at Radio Sai. Dear listeners, I'm so happy and pleased because I waited a long time for this moment to come because it required a lot of convincing. So very happy to welcome my colleague and my very dear brother, Mr. C.G. Sai Prakash of Team Radio Sai, for a detailed Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview. And this is going to be a live interview. He's right here in the studio. And I welcome him to this program. Sai Ram, C.G.
Sai Ram, Didi. Sai Ram.
Wonderful to finally have you, Mr. Busy B, in the studio. So welcome to Fleeting Moments on Thursday Live.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, before I proceed, let me just give a brief intro about you to our listeners. Dear listeners, C.G. is from grade 1. He studied here all the way till his post-graduation. He got his master's degree in biosciences and he continues to serve and work for Swami. He's highly talented, very creative. He's a great musician. Every morning if you go for bhajans in the Sai Kulwant Hall, he's playing the harmonium. Whenever we have major concerts, he plays either the veena,
sitar,
and also the keyboard. And he's amazing artist. He can draw, he can paint, he understands Swami's teachings very well. He has hosted this show called Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam very successfully for an entire season. Now, with that intro, it's very hard to decide where to begin. So I'm going to begin by asking him to go down memory lane and to recreate for our listeners that moment which no one amongst the 7 billion people on earth can even imagine ever having. Now, we have heard of these celestial choirs in heaven, Gandharvas playing for gods in some other lokas. But in C.G.'s case, he was privileged to be part of a music party that performed a concert for the Lord of the Universe, mid-air, airborne in an aeroplane when Bhagwan was flying and they sat on the aisle around him and they performed for him. So, C.G., what, where, when, how, please fill us in on the details.
Wow. That was rather exhaustive introduction.
Hardly, seeing where you're coming from.
No, it really needs self-confidence to live up to it, I suppose. But anyways, the moment you're talking about is something which none of us who are there will ever forget or can. You know, it's, as you rightly said, a very unique moment. And playing for the Lord, I would say rather about 30,000 feet in the air, that was something very thrilling. And actually, it just came about in a very simple way, because we flew all the way with Swami from Prashanthanilayam to Delhi.
This was in the
this
year
was
2010?
In the year, yeah, that's right.
2010.
And, of course, later we get to know that that's the last trip we had with Bhagwan in the physical frame.
And it was around this time of the year,
yeah,
summer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So, we flew from Prashanthanilayam to Delhi. And it was a 3 to 3.5 hours flight. And, yes, there was a lot of excitement flying with Bhagwan. And So initial excitement, and then we were just sitting and, you know, craning our necks from where we were seated to see what Swami was actually doing. Because once the flight was airborne, we were kind of restricted and we couldn't move about. And so initially there was a little bit of Swami was blessing some of the captains and some of the crew on air. And so I was taking video, so I was around and taking video. And after things settled down, there was a good 2 hours, 2.5 hours of no activity. And in my heart and in the hearts of many of the boys, we felt, oh, what precious time wasted. Because, yes, Swami was to himself. And, you know, when Swami is inside his house or inside his room, we don't have access to him. But here is Swami sitting right in front.
So tempting.
So tempting. Except for the fact that you would run, like to run up to him and just hug him tight, you know, within the boundaries of
good behavior,
rather, in public, to say. So there was this 2 hours or 2.5 hours of absolute inactivity. Mm-hmm. And something was telling us, my God, this is one precious moment wasted. So on the way back, I was very, very sure that we should make use of this opportunity. And it was, of course, a prayer, a very deep prayer. And then I discussed with few of our brothers and they said, well, if you can pull it off, there's nothing like it. And so very confidently, I had my sitar in my hand, and it was actually a chartered flight. So there were quite a few many seats which were empty. I went up right to my seat and I said, I want a double seat. And as the plane took off, I opened up my sitar and started tuning it. Now, we had the crew, the air hostess and the few others who came, they were quite kind of taken aback and they said, what's going on here? And I said, you know, we are going to play for Swami. So they said, okay, there is a madcap amongst all the students here. And so they were going about their work. And what we did was, while we were just coming up, we requested Brother Satyajit. I told him, sir, we would really like to sing for Swami, and you know, there's so much of time where Swami is just seated, it would be really nice. He said, okay, we'll try. Some of the elders were a bit skeptical and they kind of looked from the corner of their eyes and said, are these fellows in their right mind? So we were kind of, you know, on the wall. Mm-hmm. We didn't know whether it's appropriate, but we didn't want to miss the opportunity. So things were going on, and then since I was also doing the dual duty of taking video, so I had to quickly run with my camera when there was somebody, some crew captain and others taking namaskar, so I had to take a few shots and then back to sitar tuning. And this was going on, and then after some time when the flight had stabilized and we were high up in the air, Brother Satyajit asked Swami, he said, Swami, pillalu paadtaranta Swami. And Swami said, enti?
He said, the children want to sing.
Swami, students, boys want to sing, Swami. Mm-hmm. What? Then they said, Swami, they want to sing for you. And Swami said, you know, this reply which Swami gave is so amazing. And the more you think of it, you just, wonder, the Lord of the universe is here with us and so down to earth, although we are up in the air, and so humble in a way, if you say, mm-hmm. And so much in the present moment, you know, that's something which really thrilled me when I keep thinking of this answer which Swami gave. Because he said, Swami, they would like to sing for you. Swami said, Kani di plane nadikade. He said, this plane is not mine. He said, this plane is not mine. I can't give them permission to do what they want. We should ask the captain.
Oh, so much protocol, huh?
So beautiful. I mean, the more I think of it, so many lessons. I mean, yeah. Okay, this is a chartered flight. And yes, Swami is at the moment, you know,
Commander-in-Chief
of the plane. But he so beautifully said, you have to ask the captain. And then, of course, the captain was called and he was beaming and he said, Swami, you can do what you want. You can ask the students to do what they want. And out came the sitar.
You were waiting for this moment.
I was waiting for this moment. And before Swami could change his mind, I would say, or before anybody could say anything else, there I was right in front. Bit pushy, but I thought, this is just an opportunity and why should we actually let it go? And but Swami was so happy. Swami was so, why Sava? Means, will you play here? I said, yes, Swami. Ah, start, Swami said. So there I sat right next to Swami with the sitar. And beside me, where the aisle was actually going, the center, we had Nishikant sir. He was with the tabla. And brother Ravi Teja was with the flute. He was sitting right behind me. That was in the gap between the front first row on the other side. Swami is on one side. Yeah. On the other side, there's a small gap between the chair and the, you know, end of the seating area. So we were seated there. And then I just played a small piece on the sitar in Rag Yaman, as I remember. Swami was putting beat. And there was, I was fully concentrated on the sitar because I had to play the right notes at that time. But the whole feeling was so exhilarating. And then later when I actually look at some of the photos and some of the shots taken, you can see the excitement on everybody's face. I mean, this was history being made.
Absolutely. I bet you never on Air Force One, Air India One, or any plane in the world did they have a live concert.
Live concert.
And who were you playing to? The Lord of the Universe.
Exactly. And Swami was playing, and then myself and brother Ravi Teja, he was playing the flute.
Right.
So we were playing one after the other.
Like and Jugalbandi?
Jugalbandi type. Mm-hmm. And Swami was putting beat. And quite happy about the whole thing. Then Swami looked at me very lovingly and Swami said, he was very happy, he nodded his head. And then Swami looked at Brother Satyajit and Swami asked, where are the singers? So then it started.
The Pandora's box.
Open
now.
It. And then I moved slightly back. And then singer after singer came forth. And the next song was sung by Brother Ashwath and Srinivas, and they sang some of the kritis, Tyagaraja kriti, and Swami looked at me and said, Swami told, play along with them. Play along with them.
Did you have room there to hold your veena? And
yeah, my sitar, I mean, just sitar. Barely, stuck in one position, but so what? So it was just amazing, and Swami told, you play along with them. Twice or thrice he told play. So I was playing what I knew of the kriti. I mean, I really didn't know much about the kriti, but this is something which is again very amazing, because here is sitar, the North Indian instrument, Hindustani classical instrument.
Right.
Swami was telling me to play the Carnatic kriti, Tyagaraja kriti along. So
talk of fusion.
It's more than fusion. I think it also has a very deep undertone, because kritis are songs composed with a lot of devotion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for Swami, he's just telling me, yes, you play your sitar, do what you want, but when you start playing these kritis, and you start connecting to him directly, because there are words, there are notes, there are, the feelings that actually take you to him. And so I think that's something I have to really live up to, or to grow up to.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. That's how it was, and we went on for a good 40-45 minutes, and at one point in time there was some movement near the cabin, and we saw some of the co-pilot. Actually, the pilot and co-pilot were taking turns to come out and then stand and enjoy the music.
Uh-huh.
So was everybody in the flight. And you could see Professor Anil Kumar just jumping about in the background, so thrilled that such a fantastic thing was going on. And suddenly they said, Swami, it's almost time to land. Time flew. Literally. Time flew.
Yeah.
And Swami said, go, you have to go, we have to land, you can't keep sitting here when we are flying. So quickly we wound up our instruments. But some of the most beautiful songs, of course the students, whatever they sing with love, Swami was very happy. But Prabhakar and Arvind Sai, who are here, some of the songs which they sang were some all-time favorites of Swami. So Swami, they were singing the song, and Swami was singing along with them.
Oh, so beautiful.
Swami was singing along with them, and he was correcting them. He was stopping them. Like a very sweet session. And we literally forgot we were in a flight, We literally forgot we were in a flight. When we came down, we said, my God, did it really happen? Did it really happen? Even today when you think of the whole thing, did it really happen?
Excuse me. Do we have a video of this?
Yes, we do. We do. Possibly we could extract the audio for the, you know, yes, and play it sometime later.
Yes. Actually, dear listeners, I would have loved to play some piece of C.G. Sitar recital from the flight right now, but because C.G. was traveling and he just arrived in Prashanthi Nilayam this morning, I couldn't grab that file. So when I reprocess or repackage this interview for our standard Fleeting Moments series, at that time, I would love to insert that clip from the flight concert here, and you will hear it. So you'll have to listen to this interview one more time to hear him play that recital. Now, this, I think, CG, is such a rare opportunity. We have heard of people's travels to Kodai and interviews with Swami, but this is the first time anyone on Radio Sai is sharing the inside story of what it was like to have a live, in the air, on air, in air concert, I don't know how to describe it, with Swami. But this privilege didn't come easy to you. You worked your way up and you've been through a lot of grooming and chiseling to get here. Now, how did this journey begin? I believe it was quite undramatic and it was rather challenging too when it first started. Yeah, admission was a story of a big fiasco.
Well, we are familiar with the cliche, God's delights or not his denials.
Yes.
But, you know, actually, looking deeper into what actually happened when I tried for class 1 admission, there are many layers of meanings that come out. And possibly I could share some of those.
Please.
After I narrate what actually happened.
Surely.
I think it was in the year, it was in the year 1983, and had applied for class 1 admission, and I didn't get through.
You were how old, 5?
Yeah, I think I was 4. I did apply, and didn't get through. Yeah, 5, possibly 5. And so I was wondering, because I had done quite well, and then later my parents told me that, you know, my health was not all up to the mark. And so my grandmother really felt that I should stay one more year and recoup and then join. She was not against the idea.
What was wrong with your health?
I had some health problems, basically skin-related problems.
Okay.
And possibly the weather didn't suit me much and all that. So it had to really pass through. And so quite against all our prayers, her one sincere prayer stood, and I didn't get through. Well, I think at that age we really don't know what it means and what it doesn't mean, but there was definitely an urge to join Swami's school. And
where did you used to live at that time?
Yeah, my father was living in a place called Kottagudam in Andhra Pradesh, but my cousins and my aunts were in Chennai, so, you know, living half-time here, half-time there, mm-hmm, at that time. So that 1 year kind of, again, brushing up things and, fostering the spark to actually join. I really can't say with earnestness how I must have felt at that time, because I can't remember the feelings at that time. But nevertheless, there was this urge to join Swami's school. And so the next year, 1984, and for many of the people who have been coming to Swami from then, they would remember there was an international Bal Vikas rally that year.
Yes.
And the ground was actually getting prepared for that. The ground was actually, it was a dual, two levels. The ground had two levels, the Hillview Stadium. And the Sevadals were actually cleaning up the ground, picking out the weeds and the thorny bushes and cleaning up and getting it ready. And as was his style, Swami would visit the ground often and give encouragement to the people who are working. And so as I remember it, I think the Sevadan from Tamil Nadu were there, and I slipped in along with them. And so
you had a scar, 5-year-old Sevadal.
I don't know. I just slipped in with them and possibly did a little bit of cleaning myself. And it was kind of just being there at the right moment. Of course, it's all willed by Swami. So I was there, and then Swami came by. And Swami came, and immediately there were rows formed on either side of the road. There was this road, and I had that image in my mind. But now it's all changed, the way it was and the way it is now. It's changed, you know, you have the trees on either side of the road, and this road, actually at that time we had very few trees. But Swami was walking down on the road, and we had people standing on either side, and there was a basket of apples. The students were holding behind Swami. He was taking the apples and giving each one. Now, Swami is in the center of the road. There is this row of sevadars standing, and I am right behind that row. So as Swami is walking along on the road, parallelly I am walking along behind the row, because I had to jut myself in somewhere to receive an apple from Swami. But the row was so tight, I couldn't push myself, and I was just looking at him and then walking along and seeing where it goes. And the, luckily enough, the row was not long enough. So there the last person in the row was. I could see him. And then quickly I went and stood after him. So Swami came by. And Swami took an apple and then gave it to me. And then I asked Swami, "Swami, please, I want to join your school. I want to join Swami's school." And his eyes lit up. And with a lot of joy, "Tappaga, tappaga, chala santosham." Definitely, definitely, chala santosham.
Very
happy, very happy. And I think I stole a pad namaskar as well. But that was his blessing. And I went through, got it. And that's it. That's it. That's how it happened. You know, yes, this is how it actually happened and I got in. But looking at all the incidents in my life and looking at everything that has happened ever since, there is a deeper layer of meaning which just comes to me, in the sense that, yes, you do what you're capable of, but it's only my grace that will push you through.
Human effort is necessary, yeah, but eventually the grace gives the final push.
Exactly. And till the time you realize that it is His grace that is pushing you through, you are not going to. And in fact, that is more or less a central theme to many of the incidents in my life, because I feel every time I try to think, okay, I have to do something or we have to do something, it's not going through. You know, you have unsurmountable heights and you have difficulties and you have challenges. But the moment He says yes, it just goes through. You have no idea how it goes through, but it goes through. Mm. That's it.
Some forces come into play that we can't see and they make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, even the forces that obstruct you from trying to achieve is His.
Yeah.
Why not think of it that way? Yeah. Because even the forces that stop you from achieving what you felt you have to do are His forces. Because that is driving you to your final realization that yes, it is He who is doing it.
Wow, that's very mature for a young man like you. Now, I know that in your school you have amazing experiences which I want you to share, but for the sake of our listeners, I just want to let all our listeners know that in our show called Love to Love, my colleague Mr. Vijay Chandu has already interviewed CG, in which CG has spoken of some of his experiences where Swami encouraged his art, his drawing and his music. So there is so much he has to share. So I urge our dear listeners to please listen to that interview to hear CG talk about how Swami recognized that budding artist in him, a good sketcher, a good musician, and how he encouraged him and trained him, because CG did not live in a big city where he went to music classes. He just grew up here right under the nose of the avatar and he learned everything here. Now, outside of those few instances that you have already shared, wonderful stories, wonderful experiences on Love to Love with our brother Chandu Vijay, what else can you share the early memories of your school days? You are five-year-old, you joined Swami's school, and then what happened?
Well, there is a very vivid memory of the first day at school. Because it's interesting, because we are there in the dining hall and we are chanting Brahmarpanam and just completed the food prayer, and suddenly the power goes off. And there's pandemonium and everybody shouting, "Ah, who?" And then within seconds, there is a silence. And then the elders who are there, they start chanting this Sai Ram, Sai Ram. There's a tune that they sing it in. And that's how it started. And I remember that very vividly because that was the first day, and then there was absolute darkness. Nobody knew what was going to happen, and then Sai Ram started. So, you know, I won't say it's a regular habit, but every time there is darkness in any sphere, the word Sai Ram does come to your mouth, and you kind of hold on to him as the only one who is there in your darkness and in your light. So, I should really say, you know, while we were there in primary school, we didn't understand many of what we were asked to do, many of the things what we were asked to do and why we were asked to do such things at that time. But the more, you know, we grow and the teachers and the principal, and what dedication, with what love they brought us up, and everything that they asked us to do, everything that they, you know, has deeper meanings. And when you start doing it as a practice, it does come to you at the time of need. So primary school was, of course, a fantastic time, and class 1, 2, 3, and you know, we were children there, so we were, it was 60th birthday, that is 1985, 60th birthday, and they said small children are not allowed, and I remember the scene sitting in the e-dormitory of primary school, for those who know what it is, to see from there the Hillview Stadium, and I think Anup Jalota was singing, giving his concert for the 60th birthday, 1985, and we were sitting there thinking, oh, wish we could be there. But apart from that, everything else was so beautiful. You know, Swami would come to the darshan and make us get up, and then he would get pants and shirts and actually measure and see whether we would fit into them. And then he would see, tell boys stand up. He would get shorts out and the uniform, and he would put it and see, okay, this is this size. He would give, he would distribute, and he would ask what is the breakfast. And I mean, things which we can never forget were the sands in the mandir. Then we would actually go for darshan, and there were sands all around. And of course, children love sand. And so we would sit there busy making our tunnels and making our gopurams with the sand, and, you know, making pyramids with the sand and playing around. And all our pants would become brown, because we would go in white and white, and we would come back with brown clothes. But I guess everybody knew that's how it was. And something very unique, and something which we could never forget, is when Swami would come out, the birthday children would be sitting there, and they would have toffees, and invariably what he would do is he would take the akshatas, the yellow grains, and you know, throw it to the boys. He would throw it even to the girls as well. He would throw the groundnuts, he would throw, and then the akshatas he would take and throw. And I remember, you know, trying to keep our mouth open so that certain of those would directly go in, and then trying to pick it up from the sand, you know, to pick up yellow grains, to pick up grains of rice from the sand is not quite easy. But we would try all that, and then Swami would amuse himself standing and trying to see, oh, this guy is trying to pick up the... In fact, I was with one of the boys who was also in primary school, and he was telling me, once it happened, Swami through these yellow grains, and he was not bothered about Swami standing there. He was busy trying to pick up these yellow grains, and Swami looked at him and said, hey, what are you doing? Swami, I'm picking up this. Swami said, oh, is it? Come on, Swami told. He called for the tree again, took a handful and threw only of him. How much will you pick up? I mean, so those memories are amazing. And so Swami would actually go for darshan, and we would, and he would, one standard thing is he would come and say, shh, silence, silence, because there was a chatter going on, continuous chatter.
Remember, yeah.
And, I mean, at certain times when you go inside the interview room, much later in student career, when we had the opportunity to go inside the interview room, and, you can hear the noise from inside, you know.
The outside
darshan, noise, darshan noise. The moment Swami comes inside, yeah, everybody gets up, and there is a lot of commotion and
yeah,
noise. And then you get to hear that inside, and Swami bore with it all through. Mm. And so those are some of the sweetest memories. And Swami would actually drop in into the school at any point of time, and he would come to the classrooms. I remember very vividly, Professor Kasturi would come on, I think, Wednesdays and Fridays, if I'm not mistaken. He would right in the lobby. He would close the shutter and he would sit there, and all of us would sit there in the lobby, and he would share some beautiful incidents and stories of how Swami did this and did that. Although I can't remember the stories, I can very well, you know, imagine that sight. That sight is in my mind, and his soft voice and very loving voice. And we didn't have a television in the, we didn't have a TV set. So the TV had to be brought from the institute. And so if there was a video show on Thursdays, so we would be shown certain devotional films and devotional videos. Prahalada was one all-time favorite. And so there would be a lot of celebration. And, oh, video uncle is coming, video uncle. Because we would see him from the windows. You know, from the window of our dormitory, we would see, if we see that uncle coming, then we know there is a video show. Because he will bring the TV from there, and then we would have the video show. So, you know, very simple days, and a lot of happiness in small things, I would say.
And your name, actually, Swami gave you your name, but it's Prakash, right?
Yeah, Swami always called me Prakash. Yeah. So it's.
And your mom added Sai and made it Sai Prakash?
Yeah, parents added Sai. So.
But he always referred to you as my Prakash.
Not always. It was once.
When he introduced you to somebody.
Yeah, he introduced me to a VIP. Maybe we'll come to that story
later.
But,
okay, let me just backtrack so I don't lose the chronology. As a little boy, I believe you were very curious to know what's inside that interview room.
Yeah, that's a story in itself, because I think it is about my third standard. That would be about 84, 85, 86, in the year 1986. So,
8-year-old or so.
Yeah. So once the darshan is completed, you know, Swami would go for darshan, and then he would call a few people for interview. And the ladies' side devotees whom Swami would call would sit right outside on the veranda, and then Swami would take them for interview. Once the interview is done, he would just come and stand there and give a smile. And that was a signal. We would just rush up to the veranda. You know, hands breaking at certain times, somebody getting a sprain, and I don't think it led to a fracture, but definitely sprains did happen, and people falling on each other, and children just, and Swami would just stand there smiling.
And you would sit very close to him, just around him.
Yeah, we would just run up to the veranda, and we would just sit, occupy the entire veranda, and the entire school was there on the veranda. And this would happen every Thursdays and Sundays, because mornings we were there. And some of the earliest memories, he would say, start. So when he would say start, we were taught two chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. One was the 12th chapter, that was the Bhakti Yoga. And the second chapter from about 57th shloka or so, the Sankhya Yoga. So Swami would say start, and we would start chanting. And he would love it. He would just stand there enjoying the chant of the Bhagavad Gita. And for a long time it did happen, you know, even we came to our higher secondary school. But after that it just fizzled out. He would ask for us to chant, and then we would chant. I don't know, I just think everything is an opportunity. And now I know the 12th chapter and 2nd chapter, those shlokas by heart. And more I get back to what it actually means, it's amazing. It's just amazing. You know, there is a shloka in, as I told you in one of, as I mentioned in the series, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, there is a shloka, I say, Mayeva manadastva mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyati mayeva atha urdhvam nasamshaya. So he says, anybody who concentrates on me and me alone, he won't have any lack in his life. That's there in the 12th chapter. And so the whole 12th chapter is about bhakti yoga. Anyway, that apart, at that time.
Do you experience that in your life? The abundance? Lack of lack?
I won't, you know, very honestly, I'm trying to experience him all the time.
No, I mean what he said, that if you focus on me, you will not lack anything.
That is for sure. I mean, of course we look at him only in times of need, as is our foolishness. But we have to transcend even that limitation and think of him all the time. And as I rightly said, the more we come to the understanding that it's he who is doing, and we are just the instruments, things are happening through, it's amazing. Life is just a beautiful journey. So getting back to 1986, I would say that was my class 3. So there, I don't think it was a Sunday or a Thursday, but we were there in the mandir because it was August 15th, the Independence Day. So we were there on an Independence Day.
It's a holiday in India.
It's a holiday, yeah. And the Independence Day. And so we were sitting there, and I was seated right outside the interview room. That's on the veranda where the ladies sit when he calls them for an interview. And a curious little boy, I was just looking up, because there is this window of the interview room that's right above where we sit, where I was sitting. And I was looking up and I'm saying, Swami, I just wonder, what is it like inside your room? How does your room look? And Swami was so particular to put off the light when he came out.
Every single time
he came out, he would go, put off the switch and then come out. That was such a great lesson. And, you know, it was like a signal for us as well. We would sit, and the moment the light would go off, we would sit in attention because we knew Swami is coming out. So the light was still on, and I was sitting outside. And I said, what is it like inside Swami's room? Swami, I just wish I could see it once inside. And as I was thinking that, the light did not go off, but I heard my name being called. Prakash, he said. I said, my God, this is not happening. These are just thoughts. And am I dreaming or am I hallucinating? I don't know, but there was Swami right in the front. And he was looking at me and says, come. And I was totally amazed. And Swami says, come. So I got up and went ahead. And Swami said, go inside. And randomly Swami picked a few students from the from other classes, class 6, class 7. And he randomly called us, and then we went inside. And Swami was seated on the chair, and then I was standing right close to him. And he was very happy. And he just spoke to a few others. He asked me to sing a bhajan, and then I started Manasa Bhajara, I remember. He said, shh, softly, 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 not so loud. And then he spoke to the others, spent about 15-20 minutes. And the only other thing I remember from that interview was that I was playing with the peacock that was there on his handle, on the chair handle, Swami Simhasanam, that handle.
The armrest,
right. So I was playing with that because I was quite fascinated by it. And then Swami's hand was going on and off over my hand. So it was such a lovely, happy moment. And suddenly in the midst of all that, he looked at me and said, will you act like Gandhiji? I said, yes, I will. Swami said, I will see. Well, I remember that so vividly. I don't know what it means or what it ever meant. And I have never played the role of Gandhiji ever since.
Maybe there's a bigger role in life awaiting you. You have to lead some revolution through non-violence, my friend.
Well, if...
Satyagraha.
That's wishful thinking, but that I leave to him. I don't know, but he just asked me this.
Yeah, you will know one day when you're an old man, you will look back and say, wow, what he asked me in grade 3 came to happen maybe much later in life.
That's true. We never know what... But I remember that very vividly. Will you act like Gandhiji?
Act. Hmm.
So I don't know what it means, but well, let's wait and see. Mm-hmm. So that was something very beautiful.
You got an interview by yourself in grade 3.
It's not by myself again. It's by His grace. That's it.
I mean, you and a few boys, I mean.
Yeah,
only a
yeah.
few of you.
In fact, I met one of our brothers much later, recently, and I asked him who was there in the interview. I asked him, do you remember that interview? He said, how can I forget? That was the only interview I ever got with Swami.
Uh-huh.
And yes, it was such a wonderful moment. And, you know, there is one more very sweet incident which happened when I was in class 1,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, the more I think of it, as always, you know, it gives you more confidence and a clearer picture of how we should take life. Because as children, we were very innocent, and we just, as children, we believed that, yes, when I pray to Him, He will answer.
Mm-hmm.
As elders, or, you know, as youth, or once you start becoming, samshayatma vinashyati, says doubt. The moment there is doubt, you start perishing, you start... you know, so that innocence with which you pray to Him and the way He would instantly answer. So there's a very beautiful story. This is, this happened in class, when I was in my class 1 in during Dashara period.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of knew the entire Ashtotram by heart when I joined class 1.
Like 108 names of Baba.
Yeah, the 108 names. So the teachers were quite impressed. And they said, okay, this guy is capable of learning Vedas. And in those days, it was not a compulsory thing. And there were a few selected students who would be taken for the Vedam group. So, few of us were selected. And because I knew the Ashtotram, they kind of took me in, into the Vedam group, in my class 1. And that was quite a big thing, because not many class 1 students were in the Vedam group. And they had taught us Durga Suktam. Durga Suktam was taught to us. And so I learnt it. And I was happy that I knew that. And they said, we are going to chant this for the Dashara. You also be there in the group. So we were practicing and all that. And then suddenly something happened. And the teachers felt that we should not chant Durga Suktam. We should chant Mantra Pushpam. And so they said, oh, you don't know that Mantra Pushpam, so you have, anyway, you are only in class 1, you have so many years ahead of you, you will get chance, you take it easy. But it was suddenly a very big thing for me, and I don't know whether it was my ego, a small ego in class 1 possibly, but definitely there was pain, there was pain, and it was just that... oh my God, I'm going to lose this chance. I'm going to lose this opportunity. And I remember very clearly running to my class. And that was around games time, so everybody was out playing. I ran to my classroom and locked myself inside the class and sat right under the blackboard, because there was a photo of Swami above the blackboard. You know, this classic photo of Swami sitting on the floor with his hands on his, this thing, you know, looking down.
Yeah.
So that photo was there. I remember that. And then I was crying and I said, Swami, why did you change this? Why did you change this mantra? You know, I really wanted to be a part of it. And just crying out to him, Swami, why did this happen? And hardly 5 minutes, 6 minutes, there was a knock on the door, and I opened, the Vedam teacher was there, and she said, what are you doing here? Everybody is looking for you. I said, what happened? They said, no, no, we are chanting Durga Suktam again. Come up. You are part of the group.
Instant.
Instant. And I was back there, and I did participate in that, in the Poonachandra Hall, we had this Vedam chanting, and when I went up to him to take namaskar, I remember very vividly, he just pulled my cheek and then gave a pat on my cheek and gave a smile. Well, that's it.
So beautiful. That was in grade one, huh?
That was in grade one. Mm. And I'm sure there are many instances. Yes, it's not always that he answers your prayers instantly, but when your prayer is sincere, and when you believe that he is listening, and that's what it comes to finally. At any given point in time, if I pray for the sake of prayer, or, you know, not sure that Swami is listening, and if you pray with that innocence and that sincerity, he does listen and he does answer your prayer, if it is good for you.
Yeah, that was my question. What if I'm asking for something which is not in my best interest? God knows what's right for me.
That's
how do you make the determination?
Yeah, of course. That comes with just faith and belief that yes, he has heard my prayer, but he chose not to answer it because that's not good for me. I think that's a higher level.
Or maybe now is not the best time for it.
That's it. That's it.
You have to trust his decision.
Well, I would say from my class, from my admission experience, that was the lesson I had to learn.
Yeah, you had to wait a year, right?
I had to wait a year to join in.
Hmm.
So that's how it was. And there's another very sweet memory of my third standard when we were in the class. And there was one teacher who was teaching us human values at that time. She was telling us Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. Of all the five human values, Prema, love is so important. And once you have love, you can achieve everything. And suddenly somebody said, correct. And Swami walked in into the classroom.
Oh, wow.
Swami just walked in. We were so amazed. We were so surprised. Swami said, yes, correct.
What a pleasant surprise. Huh?
What a pleasant surprise. Once you have love, you have everything. Okay. So there Swami was. Once you have love, you have everything.
So beautiful. How did you relate to him? So small. I know he was like the object of your love and adoration. Who did you think he was at that small age?
Well, I think different children thought of him in different ways, depending on how they were brought up in their families. And since my father came to him way early and my mother, and kind of born into a Sai devotee family, just looked at him as God, that's it. As somebody whom you can tell everything of yours and he's there for you, that kind of, you know. Who is God to a five-year-old child? Who is God to a six-year-old child? Possibly he is somebody who gives him a lot of toffees. Yes, he did give us a lot of chocolates. Possibly he makes, he is somebody who makes you happy. He gives you clothes, he gives you this, he gives you that. And he makes you happy. And he speaks to you, he loves you, he cares for you. He asks what breakfast did you have? So everything that a child would want, he filled in.
Did you miss your parents at that age, living away from home?
I don't know the feeling right now. But at I was very happy and very, very happy in the school. But yes, I think the time when we are left in the school and you still see them and the parents are going back, especially 2 months after you stayed with them, there is a lot of, they're leaving me and going, that kind of feeling. And many students would freely cry, but I don't know. I can't remember. Maybe you should ask my parents.
I'll have to have a chat with your mom whether you were a crybaby. But seeing you, I think you must have run up the stairs with your suitcase and jumped up on your bed with your friends.
I don't know.
So you continued the journey here after you finished up to grade 7 in the primary school. You moved across the wall to the higher secondary school.
That's right.
By then you were an adolescent. Didn't you have ambition to be outside, do what the fun things that youth do outside, that here the discipline did not allow you to do?
No. Actually, quite surprisingly, I had all the fun I needed. Very true. Even now when I think back, I mean, how much more fun can you have when you're having Swami with you? Because I was, really waiting for the day I would go to the 8th standard. Not that I did not like primary school, but once you're in your 8th standard, you can go every day for darshan.
Right. Instead of only twice a week
only
and special
twice
days.
A week,
yes.
And festival days. And that was a big jump. It was a big jump. Because, strangely enough, in my 8th, that was 91, and 8th standard, 9th standard, 10th standard, something in me told me, don't miss an opportunity, make the best of it today. Just make the best of it, because you are not going to get back these years. How right it is, how right. Because after 93, 94, lots of things changed. And then the mandir itself changed and the whole open mandir went away. First the sand was gone, it became concrete, then it became... Of course, it was very, devotee friendly, because they had a roof on top. But the charm of that open mandir was something totally different.
With those coconut trees and sand that you could draw on.
And, Diwali... As primary school children, yes, we would get those crackers during Diwali and Swami would... This sight never went out of my mind, because he would stand at the edge of the veranda and as if almost responsible for the entire fireworks that was going on, because we would go right in the afternoon and tie up the... fill buckets with mud and then put poles on that and tie strings and then...
Put
crackers and he would
fire
stand
crackers.
At the... He would love it. He would stand at the edge of the veranda and keep looking at the light. He would love to see the rockets once they light up. He would love to see the crackers. He loved light.
And those flower pots of light.
Flower pots, flower pots.
I remember, especially when you boys were lighting them, we were all away on the ladies' side, quite far behind. And when you lit those big flower pots, we could see Swami's form so beautifully standing on the edge of the veranda. And when the fire pot came down, and then everything would turn a little dusky and dark.
In fact, he would actually, it was an open mandir, and then we had these rockets. And one occasion I remember, I don't know which year, I can't place it, which year it was. The rocket went straight and hit one lady who was sitting there. Because it was, instead of going up, I think the bottle fell down or something. And she started shouting, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And Swami was saying, see, hysteria, hysteria, I would say, look at the hysteria. And we all are having a good laugh. But you know, it was, maybe I'm reading too many meanings into everything, but it is like that with Swami, because, you know, it doesn't matter what crackers, doesn't matter what dangers are around, and if you are just thinking of Him, He's there. Everything just leads up to that. And He stood there and made sure nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing untoward ever happened.
Ever happened.
Yeah.
Ever happened. And He was just there.
That was the power of His physical divine presence.
Just there. He is there. And then He was just, you know, this is something I should mention, because I don't know if I mentioned it earlier. One of our, I think after I came to the high secondary school, possibly 91, 92, it was during the Onam celebrations. Onam had just got over, so that would come around September time, August, September time. And Swami had, you know, Onam had got over, and devotees from Kerala who would come in their thousands had all gone back. And then one or two days after that, Swami had called us. We would run up right up to the veranda, and we would sit there on the veranda, and then it started drizzling. So Swami was standing, he would lean, you know, on that small 1 foot of a decoration wall that was there, like a beam it was there, and he would just lean on that like a column, and he would lean on that, and he would just stand there and talk to all the students there. So that moment when it started drizzling, he said, "Oh, but it has to rain." And then we just heard it into ten. The rain grew. And then he would say, "It has to rain more. See, this is my master plan. If it was supposed to rain 4 or 5 days back, and if it had rained at that time, how inconvenient to all the devotees. So now it has to rain." As he said that, we could hear the rain sound going into ten. I'm not exaggerating. We could hear, you know, yes, it does happen that rain starts slow and suddenly it increases. It does happen, but it was so perfect with what Swami was saying. Yes, it has to increase now. He did.
Such command over such the command, elements.
Such command. We were totally amazed. Totally amazed. We just said, "Why, God, in whose presence are we sitting?"
Seriously.
Seriously.
He never realized it, no?
He would show us these things.
Occasionally these glimpses.
He would show these things. Even in primary school, I mean, like, of course, he would come and give the prizes, he would give all this, but he knew everything. And in very small ways, of course, I don't have a personal experience to tell about my primary school days where he revealed something, but many of my classmates did have. And then he would, like, you know, children who would come from North India, and their health was failing because they didn't have the courage to tell the teachers that they were not used to eating rice. And Swami would come, and Swami would see, his health is going down because you should give him more chapati.
The wheat eaters.
And slowly get him to rice, because that's also good. So slowly, Swami knew everything, and he would, you know, the care that he took for each child. In fact, when we were in primary school, the other good opportunity which my brother got was to play a role as Balrama in one of the dramas, Radha Krishna drama, and Swami chose him, and that was an amazing experience for him, because Swami chose him, and then he would go to the institute, and then they would go for rehearsals, and Swami would come, and he had an ambition and a dream in his life that someday he should go in Swami's car. And way back in his second standard or third standard, that dream did come true. Swami sent his car. he and the boy who was playing Krishna's role got into the car, and they drove off in the Benz car from primary school to the Pudichandra auditorium. So, you know, small desires, big desires, everything gets fulfilled.
When you're a Sai student.
When you're a Sai student, and when you just pray with innocence, I would say. It was amazing. And those days, I think it was in my class 6 or 7, 88 or 89, 90, around that time. Winter vacation had just got over. And some of us who came early and joined back, on the day we were supposed to join back, we joined back. And the first day Swami was there in the school. He had just come into the school. And few of us were quickly picked up to chant Vedas, and we did chant Vedam, and Swami looked at all of us, and Swami said, "All these boys, come on, So we didn't know what. So he looked at Munni Aunty and he said, all these children. And she said, yes, Swami. And we all were selected for a role in the drama.
So nice.
There was a drama, there's a drama called Cheppinatlu Chestara.
Yes.
That is, do you follow what you
speak? As you speak.
Yeah. And this was written by Swami in his childhood. Yes. And the institute students were reenacting the drama. And there was a classroom scene in which they needed a lot of students. And so we were the students. Although the students who were chanting Rudram at that time, they were selected. The role had nothing to do with chanting Rudram. I'm not very clear as to whether we really chanted Rudram in the drama or not. I don't know. But we were selected.
Maybe you were little people, so you look cute in that role of students.
Yeah, no, we had to be students. And then we were asked to shout. And when we, I remember one of the rehearsals when we were shouting, Swami said, what, you didn't have breakfast?
Shout louder.
My God. And then we were all out. And then that was a beautiful. And then I remember he actually put a shawl for each and every one of us at the end of the drama. Each one got a shawl from Swami.
So, I don't even want to imagine how many gifts of grace, physical gifts you must have received from Swami.
Just innumerable. You can't count. Every prize distribution, so many things. And every Thursday something or the other. And you just shower. And, you know, Swami always gives. We saw it happening in front of our eyes.
All his life he gave to all of us so
That's
much.
True. That's true.
Especially to you boys.
Well, his ways are different. He gives something totally different. Maybe he gives you all a more mature understanding.
Yeah, we console ourselves with that thought. Thank you, CG. Now, you went on to, it never occurred to you that you should go outside, pursue some degree or some program, professional degree outside?
No, it never. Very frankly, it never. Because I said, where am I going to go? I mean, it has gotten into me that, yes, whatever I'm able to do, whatever I'm doing is because of him. And when it is because of him, what am I going to do on my own? I never wanted anything. I was so happy here. And anything that I actually did, like, you know, you in your generous introduction said had something to do with art and music. But very frankly, it was all self-taught. And it was just an effort to express my love to Swami, that's all. And I remember way back in the primary school days when I took fascination for the harmonium. Because that was, I thought, an easy way to reach him. And to play in front of him and to, you know. So I did struggle, note by note. I didn't know what was a note, what was raga, what was, you know. Only thing I remember was I started with the bhajan Manasa Bajare because that's what he had asked me to sing. So, with Manasa Bajare, the first bhajan, I tried to play it on the harmonium. And note by note, I tried to figure it out myself. That's how it started. Hours and hours of trying to figure out something.
So driven to please him.
That's all. I think that's how it was. And, you know, after I did my master's, see, the entire journey of about 17 years from your class 1 to your post-graduation, 12 plus 5. So, at the end of it all, he gives me the answer. So, Swami was telling me, you have done your master's in Vyasense. Why? What happened to MBBS? You wanted to go for... That's a story in itself, of course. But he was telling me to go for MBBS and all that. Then why? What about that? You wanted to study MBBS. You wanted to become a doctor. Actually, it was not me who wanted to do that. And Swami was telling you, since you have done your Vyasense, you go and become a doctor. So, at that point, again, I told Swami... for a second I was silent because I had no excuses left. And I told Swami, Swami to undetaniki evana chadutanu. I said, Swami, in order to stay with you, in order to be with you, I'm ready to study anything.
Oh.
And I said, wow, what an answer. Kya baat hai? I almost patted myself on the back. And I said, I was waiting for his reaction. And with so much of love and compassion, he gave a statement, I think, which will take lifetimes to understand again. But so powerful, so potent, so loving, so complete. He said, Swami to undatanki chadu avasrama. Do you need studies or education to stay with Swami?
Oh.
That's it.
Open to many interpretations.
I mean, it's the ultimate truth. Mm. Here is somebody who has done his class 1 to post graduation, hoping that he will get close to Swami through his education, through his this, through his that. Education means everything. I mean, education is not your degree or your class. It's your proficiency in music, it's your proficiency in art, in anything. Anything is education. Anything is vidya. But do you need vidya? Do you need education to come close to Swami, you know?
Coming close to Him is education in itself.
That's
just
it.
Being in His presence.
I don't know what it means. That's what I said, it'll take a lifetime to decipher. Hmm. But that's what it was. He said, Swami to undatanik chadu avasrama. Do you need education to really come close to me?
Okay. Now, after you finished these 17 years of learning here from grade 1 through grade 12 and then 3 years of undergrad, 2 years of post-graduation,
mm-hmm.
What did you do? Did you have to wait to find yourself a job to do? Did you have a waiting period?
Yes, I did.
How long was your waiting
period? 6-month period.
Okay, pretty short by Puttaparthi standards.
That's true. But Swami had already kept me pleasantly engaged because He had given permission for me to play sitar in the mandir. And I was engaged, practicing for it. And, most of my time went in trying to practice and put up something that I knew in sitar. At that time. So 6 months, I can't complain. I mean.
So before bhajan began in the evening, we never used to have Vedam at that time.
Yeah.
So there was this free time between darshan and bhajan, and we used to hear some lilting music coming from the prayer hall.
That's right.
You were doing that, right?
See, I don't know whether we have time to learn.
Yes, we do. We do. Yeah. And then I'll end with the clip of one of your sitar recitals from the mandir. So we have exactly 9 minutes.
Okay. But I did mention this in the Love to Love.
Yes, but you can just recap some of it for us.
Yeah,
briefly.
So basically, you know, right from our primary school days, there was this gentleman who would play the flute. And so what would happen is after the darshan and the bhajan interview session, 15 minutes before the actual bhajan would start, he would start playing his flute. And Swami would, after that, the bhajan would start. This is something I got to know much later, possibly a year back or so, when I was speaking to some of our seniors, much seniors. They were mentioning even the darshan music. Why this concept of music? And when it actually started, possibly in the years 86, 87 or so, because I remember when we were in class 1, 2, 3, there was no darshan music at that time. So, much later, maybe in the mid-80s or so, it started. And there is a history to everything. And some of these brothers were telling us that Swami wanted students to actually play music, to compose music, and play 15 minutes before He would come out for darshan. That is how He wanted it initially. So, what would happen is, your mind is filled with so many thoughts. You are here, there, restless. So the music will calm you down. Once you are calm and in a receptive mood, and then Swami comes for darshan, you are in the right frame of mind to absorb His grace and His love. So that is what it was initially meant to be. And Swami had told that they should, but as luck would have it, or I don't know, whatever, they couldn't rise up to the occasion. They were composing and perfecting the music, and Swami said, just get started with something. And He brought two cassettes and gave it inside and said, start playing this cassettes. Start playing this music. So, then the question came, how would we know when Swami is about to come? Because there was no set timing. Swami would come when He wanted to come for darshan. So, then what happened? He would send the people inside. There were people who were near the staircase. They would come out. So when they came out, we would know that yes, Swami is about to come out. So when they came out, the music would start and then Swami would come out. So that's how it stuck for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this at that time. And possibly that's the same logic by which music was played before the bhajans in the evening. So your darshan is over, interviews are over, and people are just reading or some of them even talking. And so for things to settle down and prepare you, get you in the right mood for bhajans. We always heard this flute, and all through our school years we heard it 15 minutes, and we almost knew all the tunes by heart. because he had a set of... But later when we got to know in our college days, Swami would come and say, you know, he is a madman. And he is literally mad because he cannot walk properly. He is in his own world, mentally unstable. I don't know whether mad is the right word, but you know, he had a mental problem, instability. But his father asked Swami, Swami, what to do? Swami said, let him play flute. And he also had no training. The moment he started playing the flute, he would calm down. That was the only thing that he could do coherently. And it is amazing, because we have seen days when if he is not in the right mood, even if the bhajan was going on or if just the bhajan is about to start, he would just get up and walk out. Swami would be seated in the bhajan hall and he would say anything to him. He won't say anything to him. So this man was playing, and then what happened was, this was about the year 2000 when I was doing my second year post-graduation, and Swami came in and Swami said, today no music, no music. And then wondering what happened, and Swami said he has gone to Pune, he and his father. And so then Swami went ahead in the path, the bhajanal path, and as he came back, my brother and others prompted me, why don't you ask Swami if you can play the sitar? And it never struck me, because I knew what I was capable of, because I knew it's way beyond what I could do justice to. I was just silent, and before I could say yes, no, Swami looked at me and said, what?
Oh, you had to open your mouth.
So
then
I was almost, you know, didn't know what to say. And I said, Swami, if you give permission and 5 minutes I can play sitar. I didn't want to claim 15 minutes. So 5 minutes. Then he said, oh, 5 minutes you will play. Then I was saying, no, why stay? Andar urki potarra, he said. He said, if you start playing, everybody will run away from here. So I said, yes, I deserved that. And I know what I'm really capable of. Shut up and sit down. So, but I was very happy Swami spoke to me. I mean, anything Swami speaks is so beautiful, loving. And I thought that was the end of the chapter. I sat down. He went ahead. And then he went near the door and he told some of the bhajan in charge, some of the seniors who were there. And he said, see, this Anjali Devi koduku alludedo vaistaranta, means this Anjali Devi's son and son-in-law, they want to play something. Then, so after the bhajan session, the seniors of the bhajan group, they called me. They said, do you have any idea of what you are trying to get into? I said, what? They said, you cannot get away with 5 minutes. You have to play 15 minutes. And Swami would not like your grades coming down. You have to get good grades. And it's not a joke playing 15 minutes solo instrument in mandir. I said, if it's such a big thing, I'll just tell Swami I can't. Tomorrow I'll get up and tell him I can't. He said, no, 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 even that you can't do. Because he did show interest. He did show interest.
But I didn't understand what was the reference to that actress Anjali Devi's...
Just a joke. It's just a joke.
Okay.
It's just a joke. He said, Anjali Devi koduku alludu edo. That's what... I mean, because possibly there was a lot of emotion and drama on my face when I asked him.
Oh, I see. But
I don't know what. There was a kind of surprise and shock and everything put together. So Swami told that, and then he said, the elders told, no, you can't say no. You better get prepared with something. So as I was walking back, my feet just took me to the music shop. I picked up a sitar, which I have never done in my life. And I went there and I asked this guy, because as I was walking past the music store, I saw it, a beautifully lit sitar in the corner. I said, wow, this looks beautiful. Let me pick it up. That was my only criterion to choose the sitar, and I went inside.
Good looking sitar.
It was nicely, there was a focus light lit. Very frankly, that's what it was. And focus light, and then I said, wow, wonderful. So let me take the sitar, and there were some foreigners in the shop, and the shop owner didn't want to look or sound very rude. So I told him, see, I might get a chance tomorrow. I need to practice on the sitar. And he said, yes, of course you can take it. I said, wow, thank the foreigners. And so I took the sitar, and with a cover, veena cover, I was carrying it back to the hostel, and the whole group, my classmates and my brother, everybody was totally shocked. They said, what are you up to? Are you serious? And I said, what can I do? I'm not allowed to go forward. I'm not allowed to go behind. By the way, what happened was, after that, after the elders of the bhajan group spoke to me, my sister who works in the primary school, she came up and she said, it's an opportunity for a lifetime. Don't miss it. You have to hold on to it. You have to do something. You'll have to practice. You'll have to get along. You'll have to go ahead. Then I said, okay, this is also one way of thinking. But at that moment, I really didn't have the courage to. Then there was one boy, 2 years senior to me, who came and said, hey, why are you so worried? In a very casual and calm tone. He said, why are you so worried? Why do you think you have to play the sitar? Swami will play it.
Good advice, very timely.
Yeah, he said, he told you to play, he will play it. What about it? So that's how it started. I mean, just imagine, I walk in with a sitar into the hostel, practice, next day, I just got the opportunity to play.
Wow. Brother CG, I'm going to request you to hold that thought right there till next Thursday, because this is a story we cannot miss and there are so many other experiences that we want you to share. I'm loving listening to you and I'm positive so are the listeners. But time is up and Professor Venkatraman is here to join us with his live show. So dear listeners, for today, that was Brother CG Sai Prakash of Team Radio Sai sharing his experiences with you under our series Fleeting Moments. And we will continue this dialogue next week, same place, same time. As I leave you, till Professor Jeev Venkatraman joins in, I will play for you a piece of sitar music, that a recital that CG played when he was a student. Enjoy and Sai Ram.